Thank you, worship leader. So wonderful to see all of you, to welcome you to Christ, God, and the risen spirit within all of us. I welcome Linder, I welcome Shalonder, those online and those who are here. There is a reason Spirit chose that title. The ignorance of man. We're talking humans now. And his limited understanding of God. That has been said. Jesus, Savior of man. I'm sure it would be shocking to all of you to know Jesus didn't come to save any of you. The only reason they called Jesus Savior is because he came to share the way, the truth, so that then we can walk that path and save ourselves, because then God will be at the end welcoming us. He's not going to do the job for us. He's already done his job. And you know, the simplicity of Jesus' ministry, of his life, is straightforward. There's no beating around the bush. He said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as thyself. That's it. But we don't get it. What is so hard about loving God with all our hearts? We cannot breathe. If God didn't create that for us, I can't even talk to you. I can't even move my fingers. And yet we have issues with God. Because if we dwell in that love of God, all these things that has plagued humanity from the word go, we won't go through this. And yet we heap a lot of blame on God. Why would God let this happen? Why would you let it happen? Is your thoughts, my thoughts, that is manifesting, and then we're blaming the one who gave us life. When we could discipline ourselves. I mean, it's so simple. If we can, because that we were created in that love, if we can use that love and dwell in it, there'll be no pettiness, anger, jealousy, greed. There'll be no fear. Because when you are dwelling in that spirit of God, nothing can touch you. You will know it. Nobody has to tell you. You don't need a preacher. You will know it. You will not be afraid of the darkness. You will not be afraid of the snake. Then you test what told the snake, when you get that, oh, this snake, you are like, and the snake just walked away. That's what what Jesus did, healing and all of that, all of us would have been able to do that, because there is no reason for us to be sick anyway. When you dwell in God, did we hear Jesus was sick? No. When you dwell in God in that love, none of that can touch you. Yeah, they'll be around, but they can't come near you. How will a mosquito come near you when there's something there that is keeping the mosquito away? And then what did he say? Love your neighbor as thyself. How hard can that be? But we never did. We're always trying to take from our neighbors, trying to deny them their freedom, trying to do whatever it is. Why should you, a CEO, make so much money and your janitor is struggling to feed themselves? Is that how you love your neighbor? And when he say love your neighbor, it's not just talking about humans. Trees, flowers, shrubs, insects. Don't say because you're a dog lover, you can't stand cats. Well, so you don't like cats, but don't harm them. Because these are all our neighbors. You cut down the trees because, oh, well, it's hiding my view. Well, if we cut down all the trees, well, what happens? you see humans will start dropping on the floor. They talk of what the earth is changing because of climate change, and we still don't get it. Some say, well, we didn't do anything. That's not, we didn't do it. And then some even say, God says, have dominion over all that I created. And that's where we went wrong. And you know, Jesus is not the end of these things. God will keep sending the holy ones to us to remind us who we are and to stop messing up. Buddha came. What was the end of that? Oh yeah, but yeah, people think Buddhists are peaceful. They still fight each other. Krishna came. The Hindus still, you know. Jesus came. Well, we know what happens with Christians. Muhammad came. We know what. I mean, you name it. There is only one God. Love that God, then love your neighbors. Why do you want to convert another one who knows that this is the path God has chosen for them? Oh, you are going to hell. Well, why don't you let that person determine if they are going to hell or not? In this beautiful country of ours, you are in a position of influence and power, whatever it is, talent God has given you. You are using it to harm your neighbor. And yet you sit on the throne and say, well, those in Iran, they are killing their people. We are killing our own people here. No health insurance. Give them peanut pay. Gasoline is rising up. Yeah. So how are we different from them? So how are the Republicans and Democrats neighborly? Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, it doesn't mean they are monsters. But they've gone, you know, oh, no, you are the woke one, you are the MAGA one. Who the heck is that? Did Jesus talk about MAGA? And it sounds like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Very simple. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as thyself. And part of being neighborly, loving your neighbor as thyself, he said, as thyself. So if you don't love yourself, why are you calling God to come and help you love yourself? You were created with that love. You can't give what you don't have. Jesus is not going to tell you to love your neighbor if Jesus didn't know you have it in you. And it's because we don't love ourselves. That's when we go in fear. We're always thinking of tomorrow instead of now. You know, we think we can make things happen. What God told you that? You can make everything happen that you want, that is in alignment with God's will. That is it. I mean, if Jesus had this way, probably he would say, well, these people, they are very wicked. I don't need to die for this. But what did he do? Yeah, I know they are wicked. This is why I was sent here, to open the way so that they can go to salvation. They can get the salvation. And they killed him for that, for two things. It's not even a whole paragraph, just two lines. Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And they felt threatened because every miracle he did, every story, parables he did, he was all reflecting those two things. The Samaritan, you know, the one who had the farm and loaned the, and then they killed his servant and they killed his son. Everything is ever talked about. Everything he did in his ministry is about loving God and loving your neighbor as thyself. And we say, well, Jesus has risen today. Let's hear what the scriptures say. I'm going to make it brief with all of that, because today's celebration, not day of summoning. After he rose from the dead, his 12 disciples and seven women continue to be his followers. And went to Galilee unto the mountain called Divination and Joy. Well, if you think you're going to find that in the Bible, they took that out. So you're not going to find it. When they gathered together and were perplexed about the underlying reality of the universe and the plan, and the holy providence and the power of the authorities, and about everything that the Savior is doing with them in the secret of the holy plan. There is an original holy plan, and that hasn't changed. If you love God with all your heart, you love your neighbor as thyself. All this chaos we're going through, all these fights and all, they won't be there. That's the original plan. That's why they say God is God of blessing. He wants us to have a great time. I don't remember the angel say, oh, well, Lord, we're bored. We're hungry. Where's whole food? But where's Safeway? No. And if you meet some of your own relatives that has passed on, and you ask them to tell you about what is going on, they'll tell you. They don't have to worry about the rain, about the sun. They don't feel hungry. If they want a particular food, they think about it. Whole foods come to them. Like you order Uber, or Grubhub, you know. So why would anybody want to live there to come and stay here? And that was part of the plan. So that we can see all the things that God created. Not just of this world, but of the underworld and the overworld that we call the celestial realm. The Savior appeared not in his previous form, but in the invisible spirit. And his likeness resembles a great angel of light. But his resemblance I must not describe. No mortal flesh could endure it, but only pure and perfect flesh, like that which he taught us about on the mountain called Mountain of Olives in Galilee. And he said, peace be to you. My peace I give to you. And they all marveled and were afraid. Now, I can continue. There was something I will bring out of there, then I'm going to segue to other things. They call Jesus King of Peace. He wasn't talking of the outside peace. Because if we're peaceful on the inside, we are resourced enough to meet whatever challenges that shows up on the outside. If we're peaceful on the inside, you will not resent or hold someone who is following their path or who is just trying to find themselves again. Remember during COVID, when some minister said, if you get your, what was it? COVID money, whatever the government was giving, check.
Right,
they said, you better bring it and slip it under the door of the church if the church is not open. If you don't pay your tithes, you're going to hell. Where did Jesus say that? Well, I guess if you love your neighbor as thyself, will you want to be going to hell? My peace, peace be unto you, my peace I give to you. And they all marveled and were afraid. The Savior laughed and said to them, what are you thinking about? Why are you perplexed? What are you searching for? Then Philip said, for the underlying reality of the universe and the plan. They want to know the plan. Why is the world like this? The Savior said to them, I want you to know that all men born on earth from the foundation of the world until now, being dust, while they have inquired about God, who is and what he is like, have not found him. That's where that title came, when Spirit said, aha, I want you to say that. The title again is what? Read it for me.
The ignorance of man and his limited understanding of God.
The ignorance of man and humans and his limited understanding of God. He said from the beginning they didn't understand God, because the God they wanted to understand, they thought is external. The world until now being dust, why they have inquired about God, who is and what he is like, have not found him. Now the wisest among them have speculated from the ordering of the world and its movement. Human limitation. We're using the word of philosophy to try and find something of spirit. How is that working out for our world? How many philosophers have come and gone? But their speculation has not reached the truth. For it is said that the ordering is directed in three ways. These are all the philosophers talking. I'm going to skip all of that because there's something I want to reach out. And then I need to segue. Days of celebration. He says, for whatever is from itself, please remember this as you go forward in your journey. For whatever is from itself is a polluted life. For whatever is from itself is an empty life, because it is self-made. If it's not coming from God. Because that's why when these, all these things that is going on for us. Providence has no wisdom in it. And faith does not discern. In other words, if you think, oh, Providence, because we've heard somebody say it, they justify war. Oh, this is God's doing. God, nuh-uh, this is our doing. If God is God of war, well, none of us should be here because we would have killed each other. I won't even be talking because somebody would have killed me long time ago. I probably would have even killed myself in trying to kill somebody. That's why they say, if you dig one grave for somebody, you better dig another one for yourself. What goes around comes around. And faith, F-A-T-E, when they say, well, because this is what God has chosen. He say it has no discernment in that. It is not what God has chosen. God does not choose what we are going through like this for us. Humans created it from the time long before you. Maybe you and I were the ones who started it in a different incarnation. We're still doing it. That's why I say, for whatever is from itself is a polluted life. From whatever is from itself is an empty life. But to you, it is given to know, and whoever is worthy of knowledge will receive whoever has not been begotten by the sowing of unclean robbing. Who, if you are worthy of knowledge, in other words, if you listen and practice what Jesus has said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, then you'll be free from all this nonsense. This one should be easy for us to. Perhaps men think that I have come to cast peace upon the world. Remember, I said they called Jesus King of Peace. Jesus said, perhaps men think that I have come to cast peace upon the world. They do not know that I have come to cast conflicts upon the earth. Fire, sword, war. You see the limited understanding of human. Now let's go forward. For there will be five in a house, three will be against two, and two against three. The father against the son, and the son against the father, and they will stand as solitary ones. You can go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 51 to 53, or the Gospel of Matthew 10, 34 to 36. Not peace, but conflict. Jesus here rejects the image of a bringer of worldly harmony. He's not here to settle the things we've created, because if that's all he did, the world would still be in chaos. He's here to change us, to tell us who we are, because if we change from the inside, then we will not create what we are going through. His message is not about smoothing over divisions, but about awakening, which disrupts false security and exposes illusion. Awakening is unsettling because we want to hold on to our comfort. We want to hold on to our bad habits. But then when we find that it's no longer serving and no other way is going to get us the way, then we finally let it go, don't we? And then we will love God with all our hearts and love our neighbor as ourselves. Because first of all, we need to love ourselves, don't we? Fire, sword, war. These are metaphors of inner struggle. Spiritual awakening cuts through attachments, traditions, and inherited identities. The sword is the word of truth, separating what is real from what is false. That is why Jesus came. That's why he didn't come to settle the chaos and all the nonsense with it. But he wants us to do that. Can you imagine the identity will be bringing? Oh, my mama said this is the way it should be. My papa said this. Oh, well, I'm a woman. You are a man. Well, you know, we know some men think women don't have what it takes to make the world. And then God looks at them. Do you know who you are? You have the female and male energy within you. So how can you say that? Five in a house. The house symbolizes the self. The five may represent the five senses. We all know that. Or the divided aspects of the human person. Awakening causes conflict between these parts until a deeper unity emerges. Have you ever bit your tongue or bite your lips because the food is so nice? You just grubbing it faster, like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Those are part of those senses. Those senses lead us to be addicted to certain food, isn't it? Father against son, son against father. Awakening disrupts generational patterns, cultural assumptions, and inherited roles. True knowledge requires breaking free from imposed identities. Remember what I just said when some men think, oh, women can't handle this? Well, give them the opportunity and see, they will leave you in the dust. And then some women think, that's not my kind. Look at him. Only to find out he's their kind. The poor judge the rich. The rich look down on the poor. And then you want Jesus to get in between that. No. You created that. If you know the truth, that the one that has been made rich is because that's his assignment. You that has been made poor, that's your assignment. It doesn't mean they are better than you. It doesn't mean you are better than them. Everybody follow your assignment and you will find God at the end of it. Solitary ones, this phrase points to the ideal of the awakened person. One who stands whole, undivided, no longer ruled by family, society, or duality. One way or the other, we've all had our family's issues, don't we? The pressures that come, well, you can marry this one, oh, you can do that, you are not equipped to do that, and only to find out, yeah, they're equipped to do, they can do, you know. And then it goes on. Jesus said, I shall give you what no eye has seen. And what no ear has heard. And what no hand has touched. And what has never occurred to the human heart. That's what it came. Because we've all blocked our own hearts through the external things. Beyond the senses, no eye, no ear, no hand, emphasizes that knowledge cannot be grasped through ordinary perception. It is not a sensory experience. It is an inner thing. All Jesus was doing led us back to the inner kingdom. And then once we realize that, we'll find out, yes, oh, that's why they call him the Savior, not because he saved you on the street, no, because he showed you the way. Don't they say, look, feed a man a day, well, but then, no, give him a fish for a day. That's it. But then if you teach him how to fish, he will feed himself for the rest of his life. That's what Jesus did. And that's why they killed him. He said, you don't need to be hungry anymore and cause chaos. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor, and you'll find out everything else will be hunky-dory. Beyond imagination, what has never occurred to the human heart suggests that the truth transcends even thought, memory, or emotion. It cannot be invented by the human mind. And that's why they encourage us to meditate. Because then you can just sit there. If you focus your love on God, then you see how your thoughts, they start bombarding the place. But because you don't engage them, then you see they come, they go, they come, they go. But you stay in that. And eventually, you know how to calm yourself and how to control them. Then they can't do anything to you. Gift, not achievement. I shall give you. That's what he said. I shall give you what no eye has seen. Reminds us that awakening is a gift. Not in the sense of something handed down externally, but as a grace that arises when the false self dissolves. Jesus can give it to you. He can show you how you can get it. And then you need to go get it. So he's taught you how to fish so that you can feed yourself for life. So you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, says the same thing that I just read. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. For those who loved. And what did Jesus say? He said, love God with all your heart. And then you will find out things you can't even imagine, the blessings that you get. Where fear dissolves right in front of, they won't even come near you. Did we ever read that Jesus was afraid of anything? I guess the fig tree that Jesus demolished, right, by, you know, I guess that fig tree didn't love its neighbor as itself. Because it was taking nutrition from the ground that the other ones needed, when he knows, look, you just need to, your time is come and gone, so just go away. But no, I still want to look nice and, you know. In Buddhism, ultimate truth, nirvana, is described as beyond concepts. In mysticism, they say God is unknowable in human terms, yet intimately experienced. Now, we are like the disciples here. Hear what he says. And Jesus said, blessed is he who came into being before he came into being. Think about that. Blessed is he who came into being before he came into being. The disciples said to Jesus, tell us how our end will be. How many times have you see, they're not even present there. They're thinking about the future. You think they are different from us? No. Jesus said, have you discovered then the beginning that you look for the end? For where the beginning is, there will the end be. Blessed is he who came into being before he came into being. He who knows the end will find the beginning, and he will not taste death. What I'm going to use to end this, we go back to this. I love that poem. The person who wrote it died maybe 2003. Here, when they give birth to a child, right? Oh, congratulations and all of that. Oh, then the child grows up and dies. People are crying their eyeballs out. The beginning and the end. It's the end for that person here, but they are welcoming that person on the other side. In other words, that person didn't die. Shala, our sister. You know, Andrea would say, hey, Shala, come and hang out with us. Say, yeah, fine. I'll pop my head, but I'll stay where I am. These that I just read turns the disciples' questions upside down. They want to know about the end, death, destiny, the future, right? But Jesus directs them back to the beginning. If you know that loving God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, in other words, you've already loved your neighbor, loved yourself before, then you won't worry about the future. End and beginning are one. Time is not linear in God's thoughts. The end is a return to the beginning. Just like people die here, they welcome them there. They live there, which is the end of the day. They come here. People welcome them here. When I was growing up, they said, don't hold on tightly to the world. This is a marketplace. Stop behaving as if you are here to stay permanently. And you can see that's how we're all behaving. Like we don't have enough for everyone. I'll take this from this one. The end is a return to the beginning, the source, the origin, the uncreated. Awakening is not about reaching a new place, but remembering where you came from. That's what Jesus, that's why he came. That's all there is to it. is a reminder that, guys, knock it off. How's this going for this world? Blessed is he who came into being before he came into being. This paradox points to the soul's eternal origin. Before birth, before matter, before time, the divine spark already was in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't live as a soul. To recognize this is to be awakened. He who knows the end will find the beginning. To face death is to see through illusion. To recognize that what dies is not the true self. By knowing the end, you discover that your essence has no beginning or end. That's why they call you immortal soul. You go with the journey. And it's like going on vacation. Well, you need to come back home. You need to come back to your other responsibilities. But you can also go on many vacations. He will not taste that. Echoing, this is not about physical immortality, but spiritual awakening. The realization that death cannot touch the eternal within you. I can go on and on. Now let me end my story with this point. I may have used this before, but it's appropriate that I use it again. I dreamed I had an interview with God. "So you would like to interview me?" God asked. "If you have the time," I said. God smiled. "My time is eternity. What questions do you have in mind for me?" You see how humans, we can't see eternity, everything is linear. Then the questioner said, "What surprises you most about humankind?" Men, women, humanity. God answered, "That they get bored with childhood. They rush to grow up and then long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money and then lose their money to restore their health. That by thinking anxiously about the future," which is what the disciples were asking Jesus, "they forget the present, such that they live in neither the present nor the future. That they live as if they will never die," remember the beginning and the end, "and die as though they had never lived." God's hand took mine. We were silent for a while, and then I asked, "As a parent, what are some of life lessons you want your children to learn?" "To learn, they cannot make anyone love them. All they can do is let themselves be loved." Love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. "To learn that it is not good to compare themselves to others, because that's where jealousy, pettiness, and all greed, form of greed. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. To learn that it only takes a few seconds to open profound wounds in those they love, and it can take many years to heal them. To learn that a rich person is not one who has the most, but it's one who needs the least. To learn that there are people who love them dearly, but simply have not yet learned how to express or show their feelings. To learn that two people can look at the same thing and see it differently." Remember what is going on in our politics today? Demonizing each other. "To learn that it is not enough that they forgive one another, but they must also forgive themselves. Because you can't give what you don't have. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself." to appreciate that a true friend is someone who knows everything about them and likes them anyway. To learn that it is not always enough that they be forgiven by others that they have, but that they have to forgive themselves. I sat there for a while enjoying the moment. I thank God for this time and for all that He has done for me and my family. Then I said humbly, "Thank you for your time." God replied, "Anytime. I'm here 24 hours a day. All you have to do is ask and I will answer. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Then I said, "Is there anything else you would like your children to know?" God's man said, "Just know that I'm here always." May God bless the person who wrote that. So let us not, because that's why Jesus came. Let us not live as if we've never lived, because we're so focused about tomorrow and all of that. And let us love God with all our hearts, soul, and everything. And if we truly love ourselves, we'll be able to love our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbor will love us as they did. And we will love all of God's creation. May the eternal peace of God and the joy of salvation that Jesus came to preach, may it lift us up and bring us to a place of fulfillment, love and joy in God. And may all our dreams come true. May we live as one. And may we know we live in God forever and God lives in us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.